The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent.
Welcome to Podcast 300 of the Technology Blog and Podcast Series. My name is Jared Reimer, and it has taken 12 years to get to 300, and I talk about the changing landscape of the podcast and how it has changed to what we are trying to do now. Get the information out, regardless of whether we repeat ourselves or not, and that's the third segment of this podcast. But there's a lot more to the podcast besides that. We start the podcast reflecting on a bomb threat article and how the podcast hasn't changed much. We're always talking about the same things, but yet we always like to see good news, especially when suspects of cybercrime get involved, and I always make it a point to cover these types of things. And I have a Braille transcription course update with thoughts. This time, lesson number 7 gets graded, and how I was able to fix what seemed to be something that was troubling me, but yet I couldn't figure it out. But yet I knew something wasn't right. The changing landscape, commentary on recent podcasts, and more. And finally, the final thoughts file, as well as our contact information. We think, at least right now, that this will more than likely be the last podcast of 2018, unless there is something breaking in the landscape that we need to talk about immediately. If that's the case, we will set up a folder in 2018 for Podcast 301 and get information out to you. Until our next podcast, everybody, please have a safe and happy holiday season, what's left of it, and I hope to see you again with more great podcasts and content tentatively starting next year. Till then, enjoy this podcast and have a good day. Everybody, my name is Jared Reimer, and today I want to start the podcast off with some good news for a change. This is podcast number 300 of this series, and we've talked about many, many types of things. And it ranges from DDoS to Braille stuff to assistive technology to Google Cars, the whole bit. And the good news this time is talking about an article, which I will link in the show notes. And this is something that is quite interesting, because this gentleman named in this article has done quite a bit of things. The article is Bomb Threat Hoaxer, DDoS Boss, Gets 3 Years. And this was posted on the 7th of December. Now, this is a ringleader. And you hear about this all the time in various avenues, right? Even shows as old as Dragnet have had ringleaders. And this ringleader made bomb threats against schools and launched distributive denial service attacks against websites, including Krebs on Security's site and this also raises the possibility of more charges from U.S. authorities. The gentleman in this particular case is named George Duke Cohen, and that is a hyphenated last name. He is a 19-year-old male, and he made bomb threats toward 1,700 schools across the United States, United Kingdom, and others. That 1,700 was mainly in the United Kingdom. Now, can you imagine? One of the multiple attempts of DDoS against Krebs on Security came from an account that sent many different tweets. And this is known as the Apophis Squad, which took its name from the Lizard Squad. Duke was also responsible for falsely reporting a hijacked plane, according to U.S. and U.K. authorities. That flight had 300 passengers on board, and it was quarantined in San Francisco. They modeled themselves after the actions of the Lizard Squad, which is linked. And I'm not going to read anymore, and I didn't read the article word for word, and you can read more about it. But as we start a new set of podcasts, this is perfect to start podcast 300. Because we don't see a lot of good news things. We're always talking about bad news. Right? I don't see of any of us see too much bad news turning into good news. Sports. Now, Los Angeles 1, Buffalo 1, 6, 23, P1, Gold, Z, Kirkinson's 3. So, this is great. We started this year off with Podcast 268. And we talked about a cautionary tale then about giving personal information. And a question. And at that time, we talked about the Kansas swatting case, which has since moved forward. So that was at the beginning of the year. So that was at the beginning of this year. And I'm hoping that we have more good news before the end of the year. On 200, which was well into December of 2014, we talked about LiveJournal, FreshBooks, and what to read. And that talked about skimmers and counterfeit U.S. cash, floods crime forms, and other stuff. And this, while it took 4 years to get to 300 because of the fact that we were looking for good content, I'm hoping to continue to bring more podcasts and hopefully some more good news, like this podcast segment where we are talking about people who are arrested for these cybercrimes we have been talking about. Of course, as the year comes to a close, we are going to continue to bring you items of interest that will be of interest And I see that we started keeping regular show notes starting on podcast 142. And that was after I learned about how the script I used to use allowed us to show the show notes. This podcast will hopefully bring some more good news like this one. And I wanted a retrospect about the podcasts because we have been talking about a lot of the same types of things for the last 100 podcasts off and on. And I sadly don't think we are going to stop talking about these types of things. But as I let off this podcast talking about this guy getting arrested, I'm hoping that within the next year, we will be talking more about people being arrested for the crimes that are committed on the internet, because there will be more cooperation between law enforcement agencies to bring the men and women who are creating these cybercrime types of crime and causing us a lot of havoc. We still have a lot of things that we would like to see happen, including the people involved in the big time breaches getting caught. And if this story that leads off this podcast is of any value, it is that law enforcement is starting to do something about cybercrime, including DDoS, and getting the people who are responsible in trouble for the massive amounts of breaches that we have experienced through the last several years, dating all the way back to 2014, where this podcast has been active in reporting some of the big time breaches. I'm going to continue with more of the podcast, but I hope that the story here and my quick look back on what we talked about at the beginning of the year, what we talked about well back in podcast 200, leads to the same types of things that we've been seeing for years. And the fact is that now that we know that somebody has been arrested for a DDoS attack, and I believe that this is a step in the right direction. You can read more about this crime ring boss in the Krebs on Security article linked, and it will be linked in our show notes. The podcast will continue in just a moment. Hello, all. Welcome back to the podcast. On this portion of the podcast, I want to do a Braille transcription update. I released and got my report back on lesson number 7. I did quite well, and there was a couple of items that I want to talk about. And I had a very bad hunch about one of them, and I think on one of them, I am still a little bit confused on. So, I'd like to talk about it a little bit, and maybe we found another bug, within Braille 2000, and it is being looked into. I am working on 8 and have continued to correct errors since the initial transcription that I have done. 8 is not ready for submission as of yet. I've also done 9, 10, and 11. So I am pretty much done with all of the contraction work in regards to learning the contractions that Braille has to offer in the Unified English Braille Code. So on lesson number 7, there was a malformed line where more text could be placed on the second line of the particular sentence in question. And it was very interesting to try and fix this because I knew that this was a problem from the way the Braille was. And I'm going to read the sentence that was giving me the trouble in the lesson assignment booklet that I made, as I have 7 through 11 in this particular booklet. The sentence reads, "When I've saved enough, I'll buy the entire set of J.K. Rowling from books_online.com for my grandchild." And the word "from" should have been placed on the line with J.K. Rowling. I knew it was a problem because in the actual Braille, there feels to be a wide space. And I figured that one more word was there. And I even tried to correct that word or that error and ended up deleting the word "from" and then putting it back, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, so I left it, and of course I was right in that it was a malformed line, because they were expecting the word "from" on the same line, seeing that I'm not using all the contractions as of yet. Okay, so that was the first error. The second error is something that I'm trying to get clarification on. I'm not clear on. The sentence is on number 17 and it reads, "We felt very sad when the lovely coniferous tree fell down."
One moment, please.
And the word in question is coniferous, where I am told in my report that I cannot use the C-O-N contraction. And it's said to read 7.7a of the lesson book to review. Now, this is very helpful. The instructor is now understanding where I'm coming from and has become more helpful as my coursework continues. Before it was, "You have a malformed line." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I had no idea about malformations of lines. And as I talked about the malformed line when it came up, I believe in lesson 6, and I corrected it, and I explained what happened, he's like, "Yes, that's correct. It was a misspelling which caused the malformed line on the prior lesson." And he said, once you corrected that misspelling, which, give them credit, it was a misspelling. I'm not doubting that at all. As a transcriber of any type, whether it's print to Braille or whether it's Braille to a transcription setting, then we need to make sure that we are as accurate as possible Now, in the lesson book, 7.7 is lower group signs for B, con, D-I-S. So, B-E, C-O-N, and D-I-S. And I'll take the opportunity to read 7.7A, which is where the issue was. And while I do understand what they're saying, I'm not completely clear because I believe, although I don't remember for sure, that I've seen coniferous contracted. And that's what I would like to get clarified, and I am working to see what the rules are in regards to eBay. And I don't have the eBay book, but Bob does, and he will be investigating this. And in a future podcast, I will let you know what we find out, because I don't want to spend all of this time on Braille transcription, although at some point I would like to continue the talk on the lesson books per se. And I believe now would be a great time to talk about an earlier podcast where I introduced it and said that it was 1 through 10, but I believe I took you through 12. What I may do when I continue that is go back through 10, 11, and 12, and then if it's a repeat, somebody will probably email me and said, you did this on this podcast, and I believe it was 298, or even 297, in that 50-minute file where I was talking about the courses. And I believe I had all the way through 12, and I believe I did. But let me take this opportunity to read 7.7a of the instruction manual, which is as first syllables of a word, and let's see if we can make some sense of what I did wrong so that we all learn together. The contractions for B-E, C-O-N, and D-I-S are sometimes called the leader contractions because they are used only when they constitute a syllable and occur at the beginning of a word. Now, in Lesson 8, which I've already done, and in eBay, the BE contraction, which is the same as the BB contraction in eBay, is used in middles of words, in the middle of words. And so, this portion of the course is telling the person, and mind you, I will remind you now that this course is dedicated toward the sighted, that they are telling you that you cannot use these signs, because in another lesson, which we'll get to when I talk about it, they mean something else. For example, you have BB, CC, DD, FF, GG, etc. And in the middle of words, these signs like BE and CON and DIS are used as BB, CC, and DD respectively in other words. So I'm only mentioning this on passing, and we will continue reading by saying, thus, these contractions are used in such words as believe, conduct, and district. They are not used in words such as unbelievable, because as I told you, in the middle of words, it would mean BB. Misconduct, in the middle of that word, would mean CC, or predisposed. And in predisposed, as discussed earlier when we talked about the ED in lesson 6, predisposed has the ED sign where we did not have the ED sign before because of the syllabi rule where pronunciation was more of the key in that particular type of word. So it was spelled out PREDISPOSED sign. Now we have the ED sign in both particular segments. Okay, so where they, the sentence continues, where they do not occur at the beginning of the word, nor are they used in such word as be, B-E-E, belligerent, B-E-L-L-I-G-E-R-E-N-T. Not exactly sure why. I thought I've seen it as B-E sign L. But it, then again, I think it's belligerent is how they do that. It's not belligerent. It's belligerent, I believe. Conch and disc, D-I-S-C, where other letters are included in the syllable, or in disheveled, where all the letters do not fall in the same syllable. These group signs can, however, be used when they constitute the first syllable of the second word of a hyphenated compound word such as self-control or non-disposable, since the second word is standing alone. I disagree. It's not standing alone. It's with another word. But I'm not here to argue what the book says. I'm here to read it to you. But I didn't see coniferous in that word. And Bob said that he even looked it up in the UEB rule book of words that are questionable to Braille. And it's not there. So, that's what 7.7a says, and besides that, I did a pretty good job. I am beginning to understand the UEB code a bit, and I will continue to teach where I can. For example, I do a reading with a group of Christians for the Bible and scriptures and such, and I help record their conference. And these particular books are now in UEB. So the other day, I was talking to that group and said, here's what I think we need to do. I am going to get a copy of this particular thing. And I want to see what is tripping you up. And one of them was asking me what particular sign meant. And we're not there in the course book yet. But it is a sign within text with lists. And it's called a bullet. And I indicated to them in a document I got from Social Security in regards to making some changes to my own Social Security money receiving aspect of things. They had things listed in a bullet, and while I'm not going to repeat that any portion of what I received in that letter or correspondence, I can tell you that they did have that same symbol that I was being asked about, the bullet, which is 456 period, or 456256, for those who are sighted and have never seen the Braille code before. I am not looking for money in this endeavor, but I am looking to teach, and if I have the answers, I can do that. There is a whole list of signs in each and every Braille volume now, which is about 2 pages long, of various different signs. It is absolutely amazing that we are now able to have the option of knowing what words are italicized and what words aren't. But in most cases, I don't care. Most cases, I just want to read it. But if I'm doing something that includes HTML, then I would love to learn. I would love to know what they are. Just to recap a little bit, lesson 10 is going to cover final letter contractions and more short forms, and lesson 11 is short forms, and it covers all of the short forms, a lot of do's and don'ts in various rules, and all 75, including the 24 that were studied alone. So that is on 11. And when I get to 12, which I would like to do, 12 I think is going to screw me up. It's the grade 1 indicator, otherwise known as the letter sign. Speech mannerisms, stammering speech, hesitation or elongation, sound imitations, lisped words, dialect, syllabicated and spelled out words. So that's 10, 11, and 12, and I don't know if I covered it, but I'm covering it here because that is where I'm going to be headed after I finish 8, 9, 10, and 11. And I'm going to get another booklet of 7 through 11, mainly because I want to see 7. I've already discussed it with you guys, but I want to see number 9. I want to see how it's supposed to look with the contractions that I've had. And since I've made corrections on 8, 9, 10, and 11, and 8 is next in the list, I want to see if I need to make any other corrections to compare it with any other notations. And I think I found an error in lesson number 9's reading using Braille 2000. And I will talk about that in another podcast. I'm not going to do more Braille transcription as part of this podcast. I think we should cover some of the latest news that I found that has been of interest, and we should continue along. I think I want to pose a question as part of the next file. And maybe we'll talk about some predictions that might be coming out within the end of the year as we see articles and we come toward the end of the year and wrap up business stuff. So I'm going to pose a question, I think, as part of the next segment of the podcast. And I'll talk about my thoughts on what we might see as part of next year in regards to the threat landscape, assistive technology, and a whole lot more. That'll be coming up next on Podcast 300. I am Jared Reimer. Thank you so much for listening. By all of the recent breaches from the last 4 years. How many of you? If you're new to the podcast, we've been covering a lot of the recent breaches in the last year alone. And in 2017, when I talked about this 300th episode milestone, I said that we did not do a lot of podcasts. And even in 2016, I feel we have not done a podcast. Why? Because every time you turned around, there seemed to be one breach or another. And I really wanted to get away from the breaches and talk about things that were different, but yet interesting to me, and not just breaches. Due to hard drive space, I only have numbers from 2016 to the present, and I had to delete those folders from 2015. Prior to that, I did not have any long-term numbers of how many podcasts per year. For example, podcast 234 to 252 is all I did for 2016. Because I did not want to just cover breach after breach after security flaw. Right? And 2016 started the beginning of, I honestly think, the end of us being secure as we once knew it. Okay, so 234 to 252, that's not even 20 podcasts in 52 weeks. And for a long time, we used to have podcasts every week. Sometimes it was every 2 weeks. At one point, I did 21, 21A, and 21B because I had so much content and I didn't think of putting it in one podcast was a good idea. But I don't do that anymore. I've released several podcasts in a few days recently this year, but 12 in a 52-week period is probably, or 22 or whatever the exact number is, it doesn't matter. I know it's less than 20, and it doesn't honestly matter for this picture that I'm painting. But It is too few podcasts, I think. 2017, 253 to 267, even fewer podcasts. Still less than 20. And then I made a decision in 2018, and I consulted with people. I said, what should we do? I've done fewer and fewer podcasts because I don't want to just cover breaches. And my guy said, we must cover what is big, and you do a good job. The person who was telling me this isn't important at the moment. So this year alone, minus any future podcasts, will be from 268 to 300. And that's 32 podcasts. There was a time where I was sick, and there was a time that it took me a little while to produce the podcasts because I was trying to find things that were of interest instead of covering every little thing that I find. And I'm not exactly sure if this is the last podcast of the year or if there's something that we're going to need to talk about that is of importance before the year is over with. So we could be adding one more. In fact, I could see one more coming. And I'll probably poll for people to participate for year-end predictions. What do they think is going to happen? I've posted a lot of stuff to the blog. I don't honestly know the numbers for how many posts this year. The blog keeps track of all of that. My writing on Vocal has since ceased. I haven't wrote an article on Vocal since April, and before that I think I wrote an article in 2016. And I have written tech-specific articles for them as well as other types of articles, and you can go to jaredreimer.net/articles.html to learn more about those articles, and you can find something of interest, and you're always welcome to comment on them by sending me an email. I think the biggest podcast that I've done was the technology retrospective after Dad's passing. It was a hard podcast to do. But prediction-wise, we're going to see more of the same, more breaches, more this, more that. In the assistive technology front, I'm sure we're going to see quite a lot of exciting changes. What? I don't know. I use the technology, I understand it, but those who work in the field more than I do will be talking about it. In a Main Menu podcast which aired on the 14th of December, and it'll be up on podcast very soon at mainmenu.acbradio.org. And I'm sure that Blind Bargains is going to have, you know, the biggest stories of 2018, which I will cover. And I think the biggest story, in my honest opinion, although I've never used the service, is Aira, the company that started with Google Glasses and charged a nominal fee for time for people to get assistance in anything from clothes matching to what's in the refrigerator to anything that they possibly might need, within limits, of course. Of course, I think the biggest thing that's now being talked about in amongst a group of us, and of course I started the podcast series on, is my Braille transcription course and UEB in general. And we will continue that because I want to talk about lessons 13 through 20. I'm going to be starting the transcription work for 13 very, very soon. I still have to do 12 on that. But the fact is I'm realizing what I want to do. The fact that I've been at Braille Institute helping them with their own Braille and saying, you know what? I want to do this. I want to do the Brailling. I think a certification would go a long way, and they've been pushing me to go to school for years. But I just find school, in general, a challenge for me. Because I am a Braille reader, and I want my things in Braille, and I think I should have that right. And once I get certified, I will be looking at ways to get work and I could always save a PDF that is accessible in text format, manipulate it into Braille, eliminate a lot of the table stuff that's seen, because frankly I don't like tables. I could also see myself doing books. I could open up the Word file in Google Docs and I could see myself doing books. But what about the landscape of where we've been the last year? What about the fact that we have seen big, big breaches? But the problem is that they only send print notices. And I see a niche where we, as disabled people who want Braille notification, especially in things of that nature, they should be able to contact somebody and say, I got a notice. I want it in Braille. And if I couldn't do it, we could find somebody who could do it. Or I could contact the company and said, you sent a notification in this format to somebody who's affected by a breach, and I would like to do this. And I'll offer the service to you for free, and I'll make sure it gets brailled and shipped to the customer. Or if I get an embosser, I'll do it. But the landscape, which is what this segment is about in regards to breaches and what's changing and how we should be notified, is definitely something we really ought to think about. A lot of the podcasts this year dealt with some of the big, what they're calling in this field, mega breaches. Big time mega breaches. That is affecting over 1 million people. That is a lot of people. I was affected by such a breach several years ago. And I got a letter in print. And I had to use my phone or some other piece of technology to scan it into the computer or make it accessible to me so I could get some piece of information about it so I could call and find out what this company was, because I had never heard of them. I think one of the other biggest things that has changed is the fact that we now can get freezes on our credit files for free now, no matter where we live. Companies cannot charge for that service, for freezing and thawing. Krebs on Security broke that story in September. My life has definitely changed this year, and I am definitely looking to do something productive so that we can even have more opportunities to be notified in a format that a lot of us understand and read. I would definitely like to see what the Trend Micro Report looks like for threat analysis. I know they put out an article talking about the 2019 predictions. But I think they're going to end up putting it out on a blog post soon. I saw something, but it was... not something that I found of. I mean, I found it interesting, but I didn't think it was something I'd talk about. They usually have a larger thing talking about what they think is coming, and that would be more up my alley. As for app stores and devices, I think Google eventually is going to harden that security and start bouncing apps that aren't supposed to be there. I.e., the flashlight app that installs malware and steals your contacts and has the capability of placing international calls and running up your phone bill. I think eventually we are going to find ourselves with the understanding that we have to read what the app is doing. This is the description of the app. And if it looks suspicious, read the reviews. See what people are saying. This app did this. This app did that. I definitely see a lot of different things. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen in the assistive technology field. What could change? What will happen? I'm not completely sure. And that's where you can come in. What do you think is going to happen in 2019? What do you think is going to be a game-changing thing for 2019? Especially in the assistive technology field. One of the things that I haven't had a chance to listen to yet is somebody tipping me off and letting me know that Microsoft is killing Edge. I posted a link on the tech blog that links to a video of the podcast, which I've converted into MP3, and I still need to listen to it. So, those are my thoughts anyway. And I know that it is mid-December. But it's definitely something to start thinking about so that we can be prepared and so that we can understand that things are just not the same as they once were. in 2017, we talked about one particular individual who decided to put out their own information out on a main bulletin board on a telephone line. And I talked about a story and made it up in such a way where I talked about it and talked about how bad it could be. Also, cautionary stories of calling CPS, the Kansas incident. We've got updates on that, on other different stories similar to this, where people have done crime and gotten picked up, i.e. the person who did who had bomb threats, and he also ran a DDoS service. And on podcast 269, we talk about UEB, and it was done on an internet radio program. And starting on podcast 290, I'm taking a transcription course. Bonehead Awards, charging for passwords. And the most dangerous town on the internet. We've seen stories of the underground. I honestly don't think this is going away. Adventures in Cyberland, podcast 277. Great series. Another incident on podcast 284. Have we not learned what happened from podcast 267? Phishing, taking over email, lots and lots of spam, lots and lots of baits out there. Your invoice is due. You need to click on this link to solve this problem, because if you don't, we're going to shut you off. And it comes from any particular company. The rapid growth of the Chinese internet, and we have various stories throughout the year of the various undergrounds, from Trend Micro, from the United States to China to other parts of the world. Innocent conversations. And internet by phone companies. Are they relevant? Podcast 290. Along with other aspects of 290. We also have iOS 12 coverage, and I will more than likely in the next year get a new phone. And of course I'll have demos of how that works and so forth for me. Websites continuing to have bugs. They're never going to be perfect because they're programmed by humans who make mistakes. And the goal is going to be, can we patch them when we are notified of such bugs, or will the hackers exploit them and put malware and make our sites inaccessible? Implants are on chips and cables. So we start the braille transcription from 291 onward. So lots of various things, which is what I really want this podcast to be, and we're going to continue to do that. On podcast 296, a large segment dealing with braille transcription, my struggles and workarounds. I'm still doing that, and I'm even on lesson 9, and I'm finding myself on lesson 9 having to actually look at the braille and put it back into print so I could read it to make sure it's reading the way that it should as I'm reviewing the braille to correct mistakes. I'm sure that I will find a great tech book to read, and we'll continue to talk about the books that I find of interest that are technology related on this very podcast. And I continue to work to try and bring a wide variety of content besides assistive technology or security. I predict that the changing landscape in the security field will more than likely get worse, and we'll have no choice in podcasts, including Security Now, to cover those. And I think my teaching style and the way that I teach can not necessarily change things, but bring a different light to the issue. And I'm not saying that Steve Gibson and others that talk about these things are bad teachers. You know, Steve talks about a lot of stuff and packs it into a 2-hour podcast, and I really enjoy what they offer at Twit. But I'm sure that if I read an article I find of interest, I can find a way to talk about it and bring it to light and make people think. I've gotten those types of comments. That was very interesting. And I'm curious on what you think we should be covering. What do you think the landscape's going to be? What about the technology that powers Braille and other aspects of our home and how we stay comfortable and so forth? Honeywell, Total Connect Comfort, and their app got an update and they changed the logo on it. It is definitely something that we are going to need to keep our eyes and our ears on as next year approaches. So I've talked about my thoughts, what we've covered in the last year, and how we need to keep our ears open to keep ourselves as safe as possible. It's your turn. Please send me an email. My email address is tech, that's TECH @menvi.org. We will continue with more of the podcast in just a moment. All right, folks. I think that is going to do it for this podcast. Now, here are my thoughts. This is not going to be set in stone, because things may change. But I'm thinking that this will more than likely be the last podcast of 2018, unless something breaks that needs to get out, such as another breach between podcast release and the end of the year. I will continue to post to my technology blog throughout the rest of the year between now and the next podcast. There's so many things that can be covered that there's just no way for me to cover everything. But I'd like to try to cover as much as I can and as much as of that will be of interest. I may end up recording segments, and if it's enough for a podcast, even if it is not something that would be breaking, I may choose to release it between now and the end of the year. But the tentative thing is that we will not be releasing anything unless something major breaks. I would like to thank each and every one of you for checking out the podcast this year, bearing with us through the change between hosting it locally and hosting the podcast with Anchor. I am going to more than likely do a demonstration of the web interface of Anchor without uploading anything. And I am hoping to talk about it a little bit more. So, until next year, or something breaks, I'm Jared Reimer saying thanks for listening. And please feel free to contact me by email or iMessage at tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp, 804-442-6975. And I hope to see each and every one of you on the next edition of the podcast. Happy holidays!